Thank you, Danny and Debbie. If you have your Bibles with you, take and open them up to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. The book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. The title of the message is The Price of Freedom. The Price of Freedom. In the news lately, as we entered into this time of celebrating the 4th and the history and the birthday, if you will, of our nation, that we celebrate its independence, its freedom that it has gained. Many of them talk about, from polls that they have done and interviewing people, how that patriotism is way down, that people are not proud of the nation in which they live. It is extremely disturbing to me. Personally, I do not understand, I do understand it's a lack of thankfulness for what we have. It amazes me that those who want to protest or say things in contrary to our nation don't realize that there is no other nation where they'd have that freedom. They would find themselves jailed or killed. And the freedom that we have to be here this morning to worship the Lord, so many freedoms to come and go as we see fit, as we choose to do. There again, the legal protections that were founded, do we have our errors and our mistakes? Of course we do. We're human. We're always going to have that. We're assured by God's word that the only time we will find full and complete peace and all harmony is when He raptures all of us up and we are in that millennium period that Satan is bound up and is no more. But as long as there is evil, we will have strife. Has been that way forever. As Paul said, we fight a battle not of flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities. And I don't know about y'all, but the old devil seems to be in his final death throes, and he's doing all he can to try to survive. And kind of like a stinging scorpion or rattlesnake, he just needs to be squashed. I do have to tell y'all a little humorous this past week. We built a substation out there, 345 kV, 345,000 volts. It's down in South Texas, about a 5 foot long, 5 to 6 foot long rattlesnake decided to drape his body across from one feeder to the next, and he made connection, Houston. He did knock the station out. And I have a picture of him, and the only reason you know he was a diamondback rattler is because the center of his belly. His head is kind of spun and coiled. It wasn't bruised, but it definitely was burned. Somebody asked, did you get the rattlers off of him? I said, they ain't none. They burned off. So electricity will kill you, including a snake. So he was made biblical and sent for whence he came. In numbers, but the patriotism, again, we have so much, and y'all have heard me before speak of that, the richness of our history, not only of our nation, but of our state, and they correlate. And when you really look at God's Word, you can see that throughout our history, God has had His hand on this nation, and still does. I believe that as we see and what an excellent description God gives us with the nation of Israel and her history, that as and he selected them to be His people, to be able to show the rest of the world that when they followed God's statutes, there was no nation ever blessed like the nation of Israel. But when they disavowed the Lord their God, then we saw that they had strife, they had depression, they had famine, all sorts of catastrophe. And we have seen that in our nation as well. But in this time, I am very thankful for our forefathers who some 249 years ago had to dream of freedom and humble themselves, not to fight of themselves, but humble themselves before the one and true living God and ask for His wisdom and guidance in creating this nation we now call the United States of America. And God's Word is always true. And although we look to Israel, misnomer with some people that God says those were His selected people, they are. But understand through Jesus Christ, we are His family. And it is His nation of Israel, but it is His family that Jesus Christ created in you and I, if you know Him personally. And here in Numbers, God speaks to the nation after He has brought them out of bondage and out of Egypt, and He speaks to Moses, who would then give it to Aaron so that he could tell the people. And so I invite you to drop in chapter 6, verse 22. Stand if you're able to honor the reading of God's Word. Listen to these words today of what God spoke so many years ago, but still hold true today, not only of a nation, but also of individual people. Verse 22, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." You may be seated. Our freedoms that we enjoy required a heavy price. When you look at history, those forefathers that founded this nation, many of them had a lot of worldly wealth at the time they had come to this nation and what they were trying to build in a nation free from the tyrant of the King of England. However, if you go ahead and search that history to the end, and I correlated that to many of the disciples that Jesus had, that those men ended up, the majority of them, being paupers. They lost everything that they had to build a nation that would be free, as they proclaimed one nation under God. They gave it all to Him. You look at the disciples as they gave all that they had to Jesus Christ. Many of them never had any physical possessions, and in fact, they were put to death because of their faith, as were some of our forefathers. We often take for granted the fact that the men and women in our past history have sacrificed their lives that you and I might be freedom, that you and I might never have a battle, actual waging of war here on our soil from a foreign nation. It is throughout history. Yes, we have had wars. Yes, we've had a war on our own homeland. It was called the Civil War. It was against ourselves, not against the outsiders. And so for what has been done with that, our nation has been kept safe. To all of those who have served, I thank you and I honor you, and I cannot in any way from any of the conflicts of our nation's history see how anyone, again, this is my personal view, how anyone can despair those who have served and went to war. And that includes Korea, Vietnam, and other conflicts. the greatest tragedy we did in my lifetime was what I saw take place with the soldiers who served in Vietnam. And I still say that, and many, a lot of you in here were in that era, and I still, to this day, say it was one of the most regrettable pages of history in our nation. They sacrificed on that battlefield. We have gone through periods where we have not treated our veterans respectfully, nor how they with the help that they needed. I am thankful to see much of that has changed and still is changing. And I wondered at the time from those eras of the 60s and 70s of Vietnam when we did go to war in Iraq and so forth of what would be there. And I'm proud to say I have seen more people patriotic, despite what the poll says, that appreciates those who have served. And that extends. Here in our text, the Lord says that if we, the nation, it says God will bless and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The annuals of our history, folks, when we read in that, if it were not for God's grace, we would still not be standing today. It is by only God's grace that even in our revolution, we were able to defeat the English. It was by the fortitude and the prayers there that we were able to come into that aspect of our own freedom. We go down a few pages, the fact that our nation survived the Civil War. Many still, if you do not know, I remember the stories of my granddad as he went with his father on a train ride. And he said, we sat across from each other, the old style trains. And he said, my dad took me with me. And he said, there was a gentleman sat across from him. And they got to talking, had a lot of things in common. And he said, as the era, you have to understand, he was born in 1910. So he said, and that's how many years after 1863 and 65, when it was finally over, it finally came up, were you blue or gray? And each was one or the other. And he said there was no more talk the rest of the trip. Amazing, isn't it? But yet we have a nation who has come together for so much. We saw that in evidence in 9/11. How that suddenly what we had gotten away from by honoring our God, he says, if they shall put my name, in verse 27, upon their children. It says the children of Israel. Same of the nation of us. When we made and our forefathers put that our was motto was one nation under God. It's on our money. It's stamped everywhere. And unfortunately, we have those who are blinded by the devil that want to take that away from our nation. And even today want to burn that flag that stood so valiantly when our people were at war and in the heat of battle. But it has endured. 249 years. No nation has ever had what we have, the freedoms, and existed that long. But it is by God's grace and by putting our name, putting His name on with our nation. So when we stand to give that pledge and it says one nation under God, folks, how important that is. How force. It puts a great, powerful force upon our nation and upon us as individuals. And when I speak of these things of the nation, understand it is for you individually and your households. Men, if you will proclaim God to be the creator and the authority in your families, you will see a whole different relationship in your families with your children. At your job, all things, I will stand and tell you proudly that all things that I have, and from my family to my work to anything and everything, are not mine. They're His. And He's been input and trusted with those things. I hope you feel the same. None of it is by my own hand. For he is the one who gave me the opportunity to create and to make money in order to have those things, or to be able to create and have items that are useful in making a better life for me and my family and for others. It is the same with this church. It is not ours, it is his. But we have been entrusted to be good stewards of what he has given us. Never let that go away from your mindset. I would dearly love to see all of our representatives, from the president down to the councilman or the commissioner, realize that the position they hold was given to them by the grace of God, and they have been entrusted with the highest trust of all, that of the people God created. These are the things that come, but that price for those freedoms cost people their lives. There is no way that I can go without that and look at our own nation's history, realizing of all that God has blessed, and it was simply by his turn and his hand that we were not defeated in the both World War I and World War II, and since that time, but more especially that Civil War, God healed those wounds. In John chapter 8, there is another man who gave the price that you and I might have freedom. John chapter 8 and verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" Folks, the greatest thing of all he says here, if you abide in my word. We have tried to take the Bible out of schools. We have taken the Bible out of Congress. We have taken the Bible out of our nation or anything that refers to him because we want to be inclusive. There is no more inclusion than God himself. He is the creator of all men and women of every living thing. So when I hear people harp on inclusion, they need to understand who created all things. It was not us. It was not government. There wasn't a Big Bang. It was the supreme creator that created all things. And Jesus said, if you abide in my word, countless over and over, the scripture shows when there were leaders who were that followed the statutes of God, their nation and their people, their homes thrived. And today is no different for you and I. He says, you are indeed my disciples. He continues in Jesus speaking. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've had a lot of that non-truth and still do today, don't we? And the devil is the culprit behind all of it. Since the beginning of Adam and Eve, he has always tried to smear and gray color that truth. God is black and white. I often get tickled. In fact, we were watching a show the other day, and he said, it's not black and white. There's gray. That's where everybody else lives. No, that's where the prince of the air lives, is in the gray. We, as Christians, live in black and white. When God says it's good, it's good. When God says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. It's that simple. It's kind of like male and female. You're one or the other. Simple, but yet we try to skew it so that we have all these different 52 different genders. Anyway, I won't get off on that. Verse 33 says, they answered him. Listen to the words that they answered and think about what you hear today. They answered him and said, well, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? I'm amazed at the people that get interviewed by the news media that can't tell you who the first president was. They can't tell you the current president. They have no clue of anything why we celebrate the 4th of July. It's just a holiday where we can pop fireworks. Yeah, the fireworks are symbolical of all that our nation fought through. Those who want to kneel for our national anthem, they apparently never listened or comprehended the words that were written. those who do not understand why our flag is red, white, and blue, and what each one of those colors are symbolic of. We, as people, are also, we're made slaves. That's what our forefathers of this nation did not want. They did not want someone to tell them how they had to worship, what land they could or could not own, or any of the other things. They looked to make their own way and to be free. Jesus answers them in 34, and he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." We understand cancer in our lifetime. And you see, sin is just like cancer. Many of you have gone through treatments for it. And there's always that fear that it will come back. When Jesus went to that cross and he gave his life and was buried in that tomb and resurrected, he made sure the cancer sin would never come back to you or I. We don't have to go into treatment. All we have to do is humble ourselves and ask for his forgiveness. He, like so many others, gave his life that you and I might be free. For you see, without his surrender of his life, our nation could never be what it was to be and has become. Jesus continued to say in 35, he says, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." That's a promise from our Lord and Savior. If we want to have our families free, we must make God first in our families. You want your marriage to be good and be free? Put God first in that marriage. I've many times told those who I counsel before I will marry them, and I don't do a whole lot of marriages. Well, see, and I were talking about that. They hadn't asked because they found out I require them to come to counseling beforehand. But one of the things I tell them, it's like a three-legged stool. There's him, there's her, and there's the Lord. For any of those of you who used to sit on a three-legged stool to milk cows, well, know exactly what I'm saying. If one of them legs is missing, guess what? You find yourself upon the ground, okay? I don't care how good you are. You cannot do it because that old tail will come around and whop you with a big old cockleburr in it. You'll go to lean back on that leg, on that stool missing that leg, and guess what? Milk and everything else goes straight up in the air. That is what takes place, and that is the same not only for a husband and wife, but for a family itself, and for a community, and for a nation. I encourage you, because each one of us often hear that little whisper of the devil, "Well, you're just one person, what can you do?" Well, there was just one or two that got together and had a tea party up in Boston, too. And out of it, a nation was born. One man was willing to be obedient to God the Father, and God's family was born. That one can make a world of difference. No one man has ever impacted all of the world's history that one man named Jesus Christ has impacted. He impacted my life, and I know he impacted many of yours. Finally, the last of this, I take you to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 12. Psalms 33 and verse 12. Here David writes the following. He said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." We have a statue that stands out in the middle of the harbor with a holding a flame and a torch. It's often been said of our nation that it is that shining city on the hill for others to see the freedom. Folks, the only way the freedom continues is by you and I staying steadfast. Yes, most importantly, steadfast in the statutes of making our Lord the God of this nation. And it is also steadfast in you and I being in His Word, is what we read in Numbers, and continuing to stand and preach the gospel, speak it, live it, show others what He has and what He's done for us. And finally, it is also important that we elect leaders of our nation. After much prayer and consideration, you know, when you read the annuals, those who wrote our Declaration and our Constitution, the true history tells you they would often spend over 2 hours in prayer before they ever begin to discuss what they would write. The wisdom comes not from man, but from Him. And the only way we know what He has to say is spending time with Him and listening and requesting His wisdom. His Word tells us, if a man wishes wisdom, let him come and ask. I encourage you to pray for wisdom for our leaders and for us as individuals as we come through the times. Yes, we live in a time where prophecy is being fulfilled. We should be extremely cognizant of that in everything that we do every day. For there are so many still enslaved by sin that Jesus said, I will give you the way and make you free and give you my peace. No greater blessing, no greater gift can we share than the gospel, especially in our unto our own families, but living it out in our own families, in our communities, our state, and our nation. Patriotism, for me, it's the same as being a Christian. One does not exist without the other. I can be a patriot of this state and of this nation because of the God who gave me the freedom and the privilege to live in both. I can be a patriot through prayers for my leaders and my nation, for the leaders of my state, for the leaders of my community. Doesn't come without a price. Not only is it the price of life and treasure of men and women, but it is the price and the sacrifice of mine and your time to be on humbled knee before a holy God, praying for each other and this nation and our leaders. I invite you to bow your head in prayer.